Good morning. No, good afternoon. This is Doug LaFollette, Secretary of State, calling to order the Board of the Commissioners of Public Lands at shortly after 1 o'clock on March 17th. The Attorney General and I are here physically present. The State Treasurer is connected by telephone, and we have several of our staff members here as well. Before we start, I want to say that, as I talked about at our last meeting, I've been dismayed with the direction the board has gone this year. I feel we have gone astray from our mission and have been distracted by petty matters. For many years, I've been the chair with both Republican and Democratic majorities on the board. I've always managed our meetings in a fair and nonpartisan fashion, and I've always had the support of other board members. Sadly, I feel this may not be, I may not be able to restore order and get us back on our important mission. That being said, I would ask unanimous consent to take up item 4 at this time. Hearing no objections, I move that Brad, the Attorney General, become the chair of the Board of Land Commissioners at this time. Do I have a second?
I'll second it for discussion, for sure.
Okay, it's seconded. Do we have some discussion?
Well, I guess I added this one to the agenda basically for a few quick points. You mentioned, you know, Commissioner LaFollette, that in all your years you've, you know, always been the chair. Well, you know, I see the board trying to do some different things, and basically I'm not a fan of having unelected bureaucrats running our organization. I'd like to see some more direct oversight by the BCPL, by the elected commissioners, which are the three of us. That includes possibly adding more duties, as I have in one of the later items. As to naming Commissioner Schimmel or myself, I'm fine with Commissioner Schimmel for sure. Obviously, he's got a substantial workload as the Attorney General compared to, let's say, myself or yourself. And I don't know if Commissioner Schimmel would even want to do that. But if he would, I'd be more than happy to support Commissioner Schimmel as our board chair.
All right. So we have a second. Any other discussion?
I do accept the nomination, and I've perceived from the meetings we've had over the course of the last 2 months that I think there is reason to air out some issues and to conduct this in kind of the form of a hearing to establish what some facts are and to address some of the different goals that the treasurer would like to pursue, and we should, as a board, I do agree that we should take a more active role. I think that over the years we should have had the board should have had an evaluation process for the executive secretary. How else can she know what is expected of her without some advice from the board? So I think my experience as a courtroom attorney gives me a unique ability among the commissioners to be able to preside over that process. I've also served on a number of nonprofit boards where we have conducted an executive committee of nonprofit boards where we have conducted evaluations of executive directors, which I would see as a process that would be very similar to what we would do here. So I accept the nomination.
Before we vote, I would like to say, in response to you, Brad, that what you say is not totally accurate. I mean, as I've been board for some time, I have always met with Tia and discussed her staff, discussed her performances, discussed her goals and things she wished to do, as had other board members. She's been in contact on a regular basis over the years with other board members. At board meetings, we've discussed our agendas and things that are going on, and there's never been any criticism. So I think it's unfair to say that she has not been evaluated. She was sort of evaluated on a continual basis. We didn't have a formal method where once a year she would say, here's what I've done, here's what I'd like to do. And I agreed in our first meeting that would not be a bad idea. But I think it's unfair to describe the situation in the past as something with no oversight. That being said, all in favor, say aye.
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 I wish you success.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate the distinction. I didn't mean to imply by my comments that there's been no oversight. I just do think that a more formal process is appropriate. So that our first, we're moving back then to item number two on the agenda. The minutes from the March 3rd meeting have been distributed earlier this week, and last week, and I've had a chance to review them. Is anyone have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
I'd second it.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the minutes are approved. We're on to the third item on the agenda, approving the loans. And again, we have attachments to the agenda with the current loans for our review. Do we have, from any member of the staff, any other information beyond what was provided to us relative to these loans?
Just simply that the loans have been approved by the Department of Justice to ensure that they meet the public purpose as described in the statute.
Thank you.
And they have received that review.
The loans appear on their face as well to be for appropriate statutory purposes. I'd make a motion to approve the loan submitted.
I can second that.
Is there any other discussion on them? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimously approved. Already done executive item number four. Then we're on to item five, discuss executive secretary performance evaluation process. We've struggled a little bit in recent meetings moving forward on some of the discussion items that the treasurer has proposed because we always run out of time, and usually that's because I have something else backed up against the meeting and I have to get going. I don't think we should ignore those issues and leave them unresolved, which is kind of the posture they're in now. I propose that over the coming meetings that we identify those issues one at a time, and instead of biting all of them off in one meeting, we address them in those meetings. It would be my intention, at least as for my role, if I have questions relating to those items, that I would submit those items over to the executive secretary ahead of time so she can prepare and, where necessary, gather supportive documents addressing the questions I have. Whether the other commissioners do that or not is really their prerogative. And then I think at some point here, we had talked earlier in the year about June as a time when we might expect the executive secretary to provide a self-evaluation with her identifying her accomplishments, her goals, a self-critique, and then we review that, and as we'll have to make a determination whether there is reason for us to convene an executive session to discuss the evaluation process or not. I can't predict right now whether that will be necessary. And then we also can, as a board, set goals, provide advice, and make determinations as to that evaluation process. That's what I have in mind, and I think each of the items that has been raised by the treasurer, if we bite them off one issue at a time, we should be in a position by June to move forward with the evaluation process. I'll stop talking and give anybody else a chance to comment.
So we're going to have items 5 and 6 sorted together?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. We are.
This is Matt here. I guess the one thing that I would really like to know, and again, the Attorney General, myself, or the Secretary of State, we don't work at the BCPL, So we don't have numbers necessarily. We have to rely upon staff. When I look back at the last, you know, 6 to 10 years, looking at the normal school trust fund, there are expenditures listed in there in the range of $3.25 million. And I guess what I'd like to know is, what are those expenses? Because that fund almost is an exclusive land fund. And I've made this assertion before that it's my impression that we're spending almost, you know, $750,000 to manage land. When we look at our timber sales, we're nowhere near that. So I guess I would ask if the board could give us detailed information. It's in our annual reports for the last 10 years. It says the exact amount that they allocated to that, you know, expenses. I'd like to see a detailed analysis of what those expenses are, because I don't understand how we're losing money. In the document that T. Nelson provided all of us, in 2010 alone, we lost $167,000 using her numbers. I think it's much more than that. And I don't know how, as a board, we could ever lose money on land. T. had implied to us that the next few years they made a little bit of money, about $100,000 or so. Well, that's great and all, but I don't know how we could ever lose money. I'd like to see those numbers crunched out and provided to all three of us, and then, you know, then we could, as, you know, Chair Schimmel talked about, we could talk about it in the future.
That's fair enough, and we can identify a particular board meeting where we might want to dig into that.
Sure.
I guess we first need to find out, you know, is there additional information that needs to be gathered before we can have that discussion, and what kind of time frame is necessary to put the information together. I'm going to defer to any of the staff members who might have some observations on that.
Sure. I did provide all of you with an analysis of direct costs for land management and timber revenue, demonstrating that we made a profit for the last 5 years. There's an important element that about what has been happening with the realignment of our land ownership that has yet to be discussed. I think it'll probably come up when we discuss the land bank memo. I think there's some confusion and lack of distinction here between direct costs and the allocation to the funds. I'm going to have to pause for a moment and just check with Tom to see how long this will take a group effort of our accountant, my deputy, and Rick Snyder, our loan analyst, to produce a comprehensive report. And Tom, do you have a sense of...
For more recent years, it will not take long because of the way we've done our accounting, so it depends on how far you want to go back.
Yeah. Our question is, how far do you... Matt, I guess, since you're the one proposing this, how far do you want to go back?
I think 10 years will be plenty. I mean, we have the fiscal... We have the biannual reports for it, so...
For the last 5-6 years, we could have that in a couple of weeks if we're going back a full month.
A full 10 years, mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry. If we're going back a full 10 years, I'd prefer to have a month to be able to go back and verify some of those older numbers.
Well, I guess one thing that I'd like to point out, you know, there's a lot of discrepancy between the timber management and land management. And, I mean, I've talked about this before. The normal school fund is almost exclusively a fund with only land in it. I believe there's about $26 million in it, which compared to the $900 million in the common school fund is, I mean, a couple percent only. So we mostly have a few bonds there. The management of that fund expenses are almost all related to the land. And so, I mean, give you an example. If you look at the executive secretary position, it's my assumption that Tia spends at least half her time dealing with land. So if you take a salary plus, you know, the fringe benefits, that's probably $60,000-$70,000 right there. So that when you tack that on to the 520 for just the northern office, that's $600,000, and that doesn't include Vicky, Rich's time, the accountant's time, Tom's time. We are spending a lot of money on that land up north, and our revenues from our timber sales are just not covering it. And I'm not a big fan of having a $100 million asset, give or take whatever it's worth, and losing money. And the fact that, you know, people said to me, the land goes up in value. Well, whether we own the current land we own today or we keep doing all these purchases, all land's going up. I get that. In 40 years, the land's going to be worth more. The point is we're managing it so much with staff time that we're losing money. So.
Yeah, I don't think that's an accurate characterization, but I'd like Tom just to speak to the fund allocation question, please.
The state treasurer is right that certain expenses are allocated to each fund, and a certain amount of the executive secretary's time and fringe benefits are allocated to each fund. And the same thing goes with other staff members. For example, he mentioned Rich, and so there is a portion of Rich's time that is also allocated, but it all depends on the activity of that person. For example, because Rich is involved in the financial investment for the most part, his time and expenses are allocated based upon the percentage of liquid assets that we manage. And so because of the fact that the common school fund dwarfs the normal school fund in terms of financial assets, the allocation for Rich is much more heavily weighted toward the common school fund. So, but what the state treasurer is asking for is a detailed breakdown over the last 10 years, and we can provide that. It's just as we go back further, it takes more time to...
Okay, and that's fine, Tom. Sorry to interrupt you. But I guess all I'm saying is, and I want it for all the land, not just the timber revenue, for land management, which would be basically the normal school fund. If I can receive that, I'll be very satisfied to see the numbers.
Yes, because our accounting has been done by fund over the years.
No, okay.
It was a bit of a challenge more recently as we were looking at doing accounting based on an activity basis as opposed to a fund basis. So, but yes, we can provide that for the normal school fund. We can provide that for the common school fund, and we're happy to do that.
Just the normal school fund. The common school fund is doing fine, and that's almost all liquid assets, so I'm not as concerned with that one. There's a little bit of, I think there's 6,000 acres there.
Okay. So given that time frame, we might want to set that issue on an agenda two meetings off. Is that fair?
That would be fair, okay.
Fair to me, too.
Okay. Now, in terms of item number six, addressing allegations against the executive secretary, I'm not sure which one to go to first for our next meeting. It occurs to me, that we should address the assembly bill that is under consideration right now, because as the BCPL commissioners, we should participate in providing some advice and information to the legislature relative to what's being proposed, whether that's through commissioners or through providing some guidance to the executive secretary so she can provide appropriate information. There's some information that I think could be provided to the public more clearly in the discussion that's occurring, because if I listened without knowing better, I would think that the BCPL owns 18% of the land in the state of Wisconsin, and that's not accurate. It takes a little bit more critical listening to recognize that we own what? 1.2% of that 18%?
1.3%, a little less than that.
So, you know, it's possible that the legislature may be pursuing something that doesn't fix the problem they perceive. If the problem they're trying to address is the state owning too much land, affecting what the BCPL does might not really have any impact on their major goal. So that strikes me as an issue that we may not want to delay our discussions here. Make sure that we stay in front of this with the legislature. So I don't know if that's an item we want on the next month's agenda to do it. We have it on this month's agenda. Are we prepared to discuss it now? If not, we can discuss it next month. But what is it occurs to me that the first item that had come up in the various allegations against the executive secretary had related to her participation in the global warming task force. So I propose that we put that on the next meeting agenda to collect facts relative to that and complete that item, and then we can decide after that what's the next one to take on. Does that seem fair enough?
Is our process going to be that you make a motion to that effect, or we just sort of have a general person's agreement? I don't follow the process.
Well, we're looking to, Commissioner Schimmel is looking to add it to the next meeting, so we don't have to make it a motion to do that.
Just looking to decide which thing we take on first.
I think, Commissioner Schimmel, we just want to have a quick discussion of it. The next meeting, that's fine. Obviously, I have strong feelings in saying that I just thought it was a waste of time. But, you know, I can wrap that up in the next meeting very briefly so we can move, you know, keep moving on our business. Or we could do it 2 weeks from now or the next meeting after that. I don't really care.
Well, from my perspective, I'm opposed to that. I think it's facts on a witch hunt and questions the right of an employee on their own personal time to do as they would like, and the connections to being appointed by a governor of Wisconsin to be involved in an activity. I just think this is sort of on the edge of a irresponsible witch hunt to which I would not like to be a part. But I'm only
Mr. Fowler, can I ask a question here? You know, you said on your own time, if somebody does work, you know, whether they work at the BCPL or Children and Families or DHS, and on their own time on the weekends or nights, if they want to do whatever they want to do, I don't care. My problem was these were all done on state time and state hours for the BCPL were claimed. So what you just said there is completely inaccurate. If we were talking about a Saturday or Sunday meeting that was attended, I would have no problem. What my problem is, well, I guess I'd almost have a little problem because the person that serves at our pleasure does reflect upon the board. And if they are not consistent with, let's say, the board's views, I mean, in some ways that doesn't sit well with me. So, but we don't need to rehash it today. If we want to put on the next agenda or the following one, I don't really care.
My position relative to this is that the issue's been left unresolved because there are differences of opinion as to whether this was personal time or BCPL time, and we don't know what prior, at least I don't know what prior commissioners may have approved or not approved. I don't know what guidance was given in the past. I don't know what knowledge they had. So all these questions, I think, should be resolved, and we can look. Doing so will help us to be able to provide better guidance to the executive secretary in the future, so that we would not run into this kind of question again. So go ahead.
That makes sense to me. We can move on if that's what you would like to do.
Okay. So we'll plan that for the next meeting. We'll take that on as the first issue, and I will be planning to submit some questions over to the executive secretary so she can prepare to respond to those. And it's up to you, the other commissioners, if you have questions you want to submit ahead of time, and I certainly wouldn't stop you from inquiring further at the next meeting as well. So then on to item number 7, they started to talk about that already. Perhaps Commissioner Adamczyk might know best where things are with AB 71 and what we need, and we should have a discussion about what we should be doing as a board.
Okay, thank you, sir. I guess my understanding right now is it's, you know, just still introduced. I think it might be at the committee level. I don't believe it's been heard yet. I think what you talked about was there was some valid points to the overall land issue. My understanding from talking to the authors of that bill was that they wanted to take the BCPL back to its constitutional, the intent, which is to sell land. Now, Section 8 allows us to make investments when the legislature authorizes it, and they gave us that under the land bank authority. But if you read the Constitution, it's pretty clear. We're to sell land. And I think that's why the two members that drafted it, Representative Sanfilippo and Representative Craig, they just want to go back to the constitutional intent of selling the land. And we can decide to hold land, you know, for 10, 20, 30 years. That's our decision. But I don't think we need to be buying a bunch of land. And frankly, it seems like there's a ton of staff time devoted to all these little minor transactions. So that all being said, I generally would defer to the legislature. I generally support the bill. I'm assuming Commissioner La Follette opposes the bill. And obviously, you're in the middle there. So I think it makes a lot of sense that we as commissioners, we are free to contact the, you know, any member of the legislature we want or anyone in the public or whatever. I just have a problem when the board does it because we haven't voted. So if we three as a board, and at least two members, vote to either support the bill or oppose the bill, well, then at that point, I think the board staff can feel free to engage. But unless we've done that, I prefer if they just didn't involve. No comment. You know, this isn't like asking how much money do we have in our fund. That's a simple question. That's an answer. This is the information that's been done so far is an analysis on their opinions. And I don't agree with all those opinions. So.
Well, this is Doug La Follette speaking. I have a history with this, obviously, so I know what things were like before we had that authority, and a number of times the board was frustrated by our inability to manage the land that we owned in a way that was productive. So we decided to pursue this issue, and TIA worked very hard on a nonpartisan effort and got almost unanimous consent by the legislature to allow us to try to develop a method of managing the land that would be more productive. And we've been doing that now for, I guess, about 9 years. And it has been useful to consolidate our land, to make the land more valuable, and to make it more productive. What it has not done is increase the amount of land we own. We're not increasing our land holdings. We're only restructuring them in a better way. I think that this has been, from my perspective as a non-expert, and I've read the report that was prepared for us by Richard, in which he documents, I think, fairly well that this has been financially productive to our assets as well. But before we, so I would probably, at this point, be opposed to AB 71, but I am also willing to be open-minded enough to say that I would suggest, and I'm not sure I need to make a motion, but I would make a motion if necessary, that we bring in an expert like this Steiger-Walt Land Services Group that are very familiar with Wisconsin. They actually manage about 400,000 acres of land, and they're very well respected. So I would think that would be a productive way for us to inform ourselves. And maybe I can be convinced that my position is not correct. But at the moment, I think AB 71 would be detrimental to our operations on the land board. Thank you.
Well, I have a couple of things that are...
I guess maybe you could answer my question, Brad. Do I need to make a motion? I really sort of halfway did. And I will make a motion if you think I should, either now or at a later time.
If we're at a point that we're going to discuss whether we provide some direction to the staff, we probably should have a motion and discussion.
Well, then I would make a motion that we invite a presentation by the Steigerwald Land Services people as to our management of the land and the land bank authority and how it has related to that, and what they think about that as a value asset to our land.
Well, I'll second the motion so we can proceed with some discussion because I have a couple of questions. What kind of time frame do you think we'd need for the presentation?
I'm going to defer to staff who have had relationships with this group before, so they know better than I.
You know, it depends on how much information you guys want. I think the real value of Steigerwald is that they enjoy substantial experience and respect in industry and are a large industrial timberland manager, and more importantly, they do due diligence and advise actual trust fund managers on whether or not they should invest in timberland as a part of their investment strategy. You know, I would think that an hour-long conversation about how timberland investment is performing in Wisconsin now, how it's performed historically, and how they're advising other institutional investors, how they anticipate it will perform in the future, the risks and the opportunities that come from that. I think an hour would probably do it, but...
part of the question, if I can interrupt, is that how long do you think it would take them to be prepared to do that so we could fit it into a schedule?
Well, I don't know. They just did a presentation for Senator Tiffany on a timberland investment that they're advising on and managing. I think they'd be ready, yeah, just based on, and they serve on Governor Walker's forestry task force, Council on Forestry is the title of the governor's Council on Forestry. They serve on that, and, you know, I wouldn't anticipate, because they're so, that it would take much time at all. I haven't asked them, but, I'd have to ask them. I don't know.
Thank you.
But they're actively presenting on this issue in the legislature right now, so. Not on the issue of, let me be clear, not on the issue of BCP Hell or Assembly Bill 71, but on the issue of timber, the current investment environment for timberland in Wisconsin is something they are very currently and actively involved in with a variety of stakeholders, including the legislature and the governor's council.
I guess this is Matt here. I'd ask a quick question. Would we have to pay for this service? Because, I mean, I don't, if it's going to cost a lot of money, I don't know.
I don't think so.
And then one follow-up question that the... it's my understanding, when you had mentioned this group to me before, I thought I found them online and that they manage hundreds of thousands of acres, I think in Wisconsin. Something that they couldn't, is it something where they can manage our land for us?
You broke up a little bit, but I think you're asking whether we could pay them to manage our land?
Well, I wouldn't mean pay. I would assume we could make money, because obviously we have timber revenue. Mike, I'm not saying this is for sure what I want to do, but I'm saying obviously we would keep ownership because they'd be private, you know, they'd be public land, so they'd still be open for hunting, fishing, all that good stuff. But my question would be, maybe we could just sub this out and privatize it, that portion of it. And I'm not making a motion to do that, but if they're going to discuss other topics, maybe they could tell us if that's something they or other companies do.
Yeah, I'd encourage you to ask them that question.
Is there a sense that there's information that Steigerwald the Steigerwald group can provide to us that they need to do in person as opposed to some report that might exist already, or
maybe this is just a suggestion. Maybe we could start with, if they provided a report or a PDF or a PowerPoint to other people, maybe we should start by just getting that, and then at our next meeting we could decide whether or not we want them to come in and, you know, brief us.
I can ask. They do not have a off-the-shelf report on this. My understanding, third hand, is that Lime Timber, the governor just announced the largest conservation easement for working forests in the history of the state of Wisconsin. The company that invested in that transaction, funded in part by the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, is called Lime Timber out of New Hampshire or Vermont. I can't remember which one. Sorry about that. Lime Timber is contracting with Steigerwald to manage that land, and it is my understanding, as a part of and with the full support of Governor Walker, they have been going around to legislators and explaining that transaction. I don't think that that particular, I think that presentation would be illuminative to the board, but I don't think it would answer the question the board is asking here. And so...
This is Doug responding to Brad's question, is that I personally would prefer to have them be in person. I would like to suggest that we have Tia outline exactly what we're thinking about, so they address it in a concise way. I would suggest we tell them we have 30 minutes. Part of the reason is I'll be honest about myself. I don't always read things as carefully as I should. So if I got a 8 or 10 or 12 page report, I might not read it as carefully. But if I sat and listened to people for 30 minutes, I would pay attention. That's my own shortcoming, but that would be one of my reasons to like to have them in front of me. And then we could also ask questions.
I'm fine with that. We'll just have to find out for them what their availability is, and we'll have to pick a meeting where this will occur. Our next meeting is now April 7th. I'd have to appear on that one by phone. That week the kids are off from school, so
I think I'll also be by phone that time.
Not be the most productive time to have them come to a presentation. we're all calling it in. So then after that, April 21st, maybe that's a better one to have to look for availability
okay.
with them.
That gives them more time.
Okay. Obviously
I can't commit them, but I'm happy to follow up. Though in the interest of ensuring that I understand the common view of what's going to happen, could someone summarize for me what I'm going to ask of Steiger Wall?
Are we looking for an assessment of best practices for land management? Is that what you have in mind? Mr. Radomchek?
I guess what I'm wondering, the way I just come at it, and I've mentioned this to T and some of the staff, the way I see it is we have a lot of staff up in the northern office handling this, a lot of staff in Madison handling this. There's also the possibility, this is going with that, of maybe working with some of the counties to manage some of our land or the Steigerwalds. I'm open to anything if it nets us money. I'd like to see no expenses on our part and only money coming in for our timber revenue. That's what I'd like to see, where we have no expenses. Because we're spending money, and some years we're losing a bunch of money. And when we go back, Tia gave us numbers through, I think we left 167 in 10. I pulled the numbers a few years before that. We only had 200,000 in timber sales some of those years, and seemingly we're spending 600,000, 700,000, 800,000. I mean, we're losing money here. This is crazy.
This is Doug. I have no objection to them addressing that issue. I think it's a poignant one. But I also, I think, if my fellow commissioners agree, we also want them to be fairly specifically in addressing their opinion of AB 71 and the Land Bank Authority as to how that relates to the management we've been doing and we might do in the future. That's how I understood part of our interest.
Okay.
I think it would, in my mind, I think it would be valuable for them to start at the 10,000 foot level and describe what timberland investment, past, present, and future, has looked like, or they advise other investors looks like. And then whatever questions you guys want to answer after that overview, any of Matt's questions or concerns, any of Doug's questions or concerns, I think they will be, well positioned to answer any number of questions. There's no other company out there that has their breadth of experience, and I think they could answer any questions.
The question idea is fine. I just would not like to surprise them. So I would hope you would appraise them of the concerns that Matt has and about my concerns And I think the board's concern in general, as Brad said earlier, about our land bank authority and how that relates
yep.
into the,
yep.
the issue.
Yep.
And AB 71, of course,
yep.
which is what our chair very rightfully alluded to early in this meeting is something that we probably ought to have some involvement in some way.
Mr. Chair, I would happily write this up and I don't know. Am I allowed to ask you guys whether the way I've written it up is reflective of your need? I'm not quite sure. Tom, do you know? The board's directed me, and I want to communicate in writing to Steigerwald what we're asking for. I want to be sure that I'm properly reflecting the diversity of views here. Can I write this up and send it to the board and ask them whether this reflects the understanding that we reached in this conversation?
At this point, if the board, you know, adopts this procedure, whatever that they're asking us to do, it's fine for you to.
Yep. Okay.
It's
important, and I want to get it right, and I want everybody to feel that they've got what they need coming out of it.
So, I'll call the question just to move us along.
Then the motion was
to ask them to do all the stuff we just talked about.
You know, I have one other question relative to it. There was the issue of cost. What if there is? What if they do want to be compensated at least for their time?
Okay. Well, I'll withdraw my calling the question because theoretically, when the question is called, debate has to be ended. So I withdraw that. Go ahead. Sorry.
They've been coming down here a lot talking about these issues generally, not Assembly Bill 71, but generally. And maybe they would want travel expenses, but I can't tell you. I can find out swiftly, though.
Okay.
And if it's more than travel reimbursement, we could bring it back to the board for further discussion.
We've got our original motion to ask. Steigerwald, is it an associate?
Steigerwald Land Services.
Thank you. Ask Steigerwald Land Services to participate in our April 21st or whatever subsequent one that are available for board meeting to discuss best practices in land management, past, present, and future, land bank authority, AB 71, those other relevant issues we've discussed. So as to that motion, I vote aye.
I vote aye.
I'll vote aye.
Okay, that motion carries. Then, as to potential cost, I'd make a motion that we grant authority to pay for travel expenses they may incur.
Second that motion.
They're in Wisconsin, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they wouldn't stay overnight, probably, or it might be in Madison anyway. So I would second that motion if it's necessary to pay travel.
Any other discussion on that?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anything else on item number 7? All right, then item number 8. Go ahead and see item number 8 before I agree to accept the board chairmanship.
Commissioner or Chair Schimmel, can I talk to this real briefly?
Yes, please.
Basically, these are just a few things that I had added. And going back to the thought of, I'm not a big fan of an unelected, you know, bureaucrat running things. We are an elected board. All three of us were elected. I think we each got over 1 million votes. I think Commissioner Schimmel was running away with it there, but I think we need to have some approval, and you know, somebody like yourself, I think, is a responsible person. I mean, you could probably have staff look into some of these things. If you don't want to vote on it today necessarily, we don't have to vote on it today. I just would like to see some, I guess I'll talk to a couple of them. Approving new hires. I met with Tia Nelson, the executive secretary, right after taking office, actually winning my election, so before in office. And I had said that it looked like there was a position vacant for the IT, and Tia had said to me it was vacant. And I had said, well, that's good. We don't need an IT person for a six-person agency. And I had asked Tia to leave it to make sure to notify me and other commissioners if she was going to fill it. Well, she's already filled it. Never mentioned it to me, never mentioned it to anyone. I would much prefer somebody else, you know, she'll do the recruitment process, but I'd prefer if we had some oversight, meaning the three elected of us. I trust you on that that's probably a $100,000 position with fringe benefits, which none of us voted on. And we vote on all kinds of things. And I just think, especially when you look at where Governor Walker's budget is, he wants to trim staff at this agency and other agencies. And same for the out-of-state travel. And I'm very concerned with the executive secretary's hours. And I'll make 2 points on that. In an email she sent to all three of us, she specifically said, Tia did, that she does not, she's like the three of us. Well, obviously she's not an elected official. She does have to work 40 hours a week. All BCPL employees have to work 40 hours a week. How they report it's maybe a little bit different, but if they're off on a day, they went up north or something, they have to take an 8-hour vacation day. Obviously, three elected people like us, we do not. And I want those hours noted because there's no oversight. And I'm just a little irritated that, that mentality that, there's not hours needed because it's a 40-hour position. It's not a, 36-hour, a 30-hour. It's a 40-hour position. And then lastly would be the expenditures over 5,000. I mean, I look at that Rainforest Alliance. Nobody on the board knew about it when Tia had authorized spending $12,000. I mean, I would much prefer knowing if we're going to be spending large amounts of money, I just picked the amount of 5,000. I'd much prefer knowing that you at least knew about it and approved it. So, I mean, we don't have to vote on this today. Obviously, you're new to the position, but it's something I think we should have some oversight of.
Well, this is Doug responding to this issue. First of all, the board didn't know about our proposal to employ people to look at our forest management, and it was discussed by board members and generally thought to be a good idea. I also don't agree that the 40-hour comments, executive positions don't work 40 hours.
You work 40 hours.
Sometimes it's more than 40 hours, I'm sure.
So I'm fine with more than 40, but they must work 40.
I don't enjoy being interrupted.
Well, that was incorrect, though.
And finally, I think that this item 8 is a perfect example of micromanagement. And I, as a board member, would be opposed to having the chair involved in these activities. We as a board can always ask questions, and we have an evaluation process. We're going to learn how the executive manages things, including these items, and I think it's micromanagement. But we can decide that as a board later.
Okay. I'd suggest we put that on the agenda for the April 7th meeting. I'd like to find out a little bit more, for instance, about what kinds of expense, and I can do this in person with the executive secretary to find out more about the number of expenditures we have below and above $5,000 to maybe get a better sense for myself about what is a reasonable line of demarcation for that. We've seen some information about in-state and out-of-state travel. I think we should have a discussion about that as a board. So I'll have some of these discussions with the executive secretary myself, and then I'd love to come back to this on April 7th instead of now.
That's fine by me.
Okay. Item 9, we discussed this a little bit. Item 9, I think it's something that would need to be in the form of a motion.
That I can make a motion on it, I guess. My concern just stems from the fact, I don't expect to have the BCPL staff lobbying, members of the legislature when we have not discussed something. I mean, I cannot imagine the need to ban staff from lobbying Congress, but obviously we would have had to done that if we went back to 2009, because Tia flew out to D.C. and lobbied on that hyper-partisan bill. I don't think this is something we should have to do, but seemingly under the direction that this agency's been run, I believe we do. So I'll just make a quick motion to prohibit board staff from lobbying the state legislature, governor's office, or the federal government on legislative proposals unless approved by the board.
I'll second the motion. Any other discussion?
Well, again, I think it's an unnecessary piece of micromanagement. Having been on the board for many years, I don't remember this ever being a problem. I think there's a distinction between lobbying and providing information. And I think that from my knowledge, and it's not my role to defend her, but just to say what I know from my experience, that Tia has provided information. She's clarified mistakes in fact, but I don't think that is lobbying. And I think that we, in the past, have always decided if we wanted to take a position. If the board wanted to take a position on something, we would vote on that, as we may on AB 71. So I think this, again, is unnecessary.
I would disagree. I believe it's necessary, but that's obviously our disagreement.
I agree with the concept that when it's a matter of providing information, that is something that it's simply giving the legislature or governor information about past activities of the commission or the board or current activity. If it's advocating, I do tend to agree that the board probably should be discussing advocacy for or against legislation before that's done by the board. So I'm ready. I don't have any other discussion about it.
I don't want one clarifying question, if I could.
You may.
Yes. So I completely agree with this. The examples that have been put forward are a misrepresentation of what I've done. In both cases, there's a record that I appeared for information purposes representing the governor's task force, and I'll provide you additional information on that when we go back to the task force issue and allegation. But in terms of this specific motion, the issue of our budget has come up. And I mentioned that the governor had a proposal in the budget. I just wanted to update you on that and then ask how I am to proceed. The governor did not cut BCPL's budget in his budget proposal. He proposed a new initiative called the Shared Agency Pilot Program that would have taken the accountant and information systems person from us. So there was no actual budget cut. There were proposed staff cuts. Since that was proposed, it is the governor's office, in consultation with the Department of Administration, has concluded that they need more time to think through that initiative. And so the governor's budget is being modified as an errata correction, this is my understanding, from the governor's office, to delay the implementation of the Shared Agency Pilot Program. I think I got the title right, didn't I?
Agency Services.
Shared Agency Services Pilot Program is being delayed by a year. So BCPL submitted a budget that directly followed the governor's request to submit a cost to continue budget. There's no increases in spending, there's no increases in staff, there's no increased programmatic areas. Typically, the executive secretary is expected to meet with members of Joint Finance and walk through the budget prior to the budget being voted on. I need the board to tell me whether I have permission to do that or not, based on the motion that's occurring.
I guess this is not real quick. To the point that, you know, has been made on this, there's two things. One, there's nothing to stop the staff, let's say Tia in this instance, from communicating to the members, to the commissioner. She can send us, you know, information she, you know, the, that these cuts don't pertain to us or whatever. That can be sent because she can communicate with us. We can't communicate amongst each other. But then the other part would be, there's nothing to stop all three of us commissioners as individually elected people from contacting members of the legislature or the governor's office. I mean, we don't, unless we have a consensus, either two members or three members that think these cuts are good or cuts are bad, I don't know why we would have staff weighing in on it. And that's kind of goes back to the general point. AB 71, maybe we'll make a decision and all three of us support it or all three oppose or 2-1. And then at that point, then we'll have a mandate. But until we've done that, I don't think staff should be weighing in.
I am seeking clarification on the agency's budget submission.
Well, this is Doug. I think if you're asked to appear before Joint Finance and explain your budget, that's an informational. It's not lobbying. I would probably expect you to send us an email saying that you've been asked to do it and you're going to be there next Wednesday. I think the three of us also, as individual board members, could request that we appeared before Joint Finance if any of us wish to as well. But
it's
an informational issue, not lobbying.
I can tell you that Joint Finance is not going to ask us to appear. They do not ask small agencies to appear. They typically expect the executive secretary of the small agency or the director of the small agency to meet with them and walk through the budget prior to them voting on the budget. And I'm just seeking clarification. Am I permitted to do that? There are no cuts in the governor's budget my understanding is the small agencies program is being delayed by a year. So our budget is pretty straightforward. We are self-funded. We ask for no increases in staff or programs or spending authority beyond a cost to continue budget. I'm asking whether I can proceed as I have in years past and sit down with members of the Joint Finance and walk through the agency's budget.
This is Doug. Make sure I understand. You're saying meet with them on a one-to-one basis.
That's the way it has always happened in the 10 years I've been here. The secretary has never appeared before the committee, ever.
Okay.
I guess if that's the case, I mean, if they have questions, I think it'd be nice if we were notified when those meetings were, and if we as commissioners wanted to attend or something, maybe we could as well. I just don't like the idea of not being a part of a meeting where something might be said that we as a board want something when I don't know if that's the case. I don't know what's going to be said in the meeting.
Well, I guess I'm asking the board whether they support our budget submission as it was submitted, and I mean that.
I haven't seen it, Sal.
I'm searching through my records. I don't know that I've looked at it either.
Yeah, I haven't distributed it. I have it here. I brought it in. It was submitted long before you guys were in office.
When do you think you'll be meeting with them, Tia?
I haven't made it.
It's more than 2 weeks from now?
I'm trying to find out when they take up the small agencies. I've been unable to find that out.
Well, it's my understanding they're not getting started on voting for a little while here, possibly mid-April. So maybe just get us write up a synopsis of what you think you're going to say, and we could you could submit it at our next meeting, and then we could talk about it.
Okay.
That sounds good.
I'll distribute the actual budget, I think it speaks for itself.
We'll put that on the April 7th agenda.
We should move on to the next item.
I had a motion a while ago now, and the motion was to prohibit staff from lobbying the legislature, governor, or federal government on legislative proposals unless approved by the board. Is there any more discussion relative to that? Okay, then I'll call for a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
You're not making or breaking it.
Did you vote?
I did. Oh, yes. I said aye. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a little confusion when you say all in favor aye, like you're calling for it, and then you that's all for your vote.
Sorry.
That's a little, okay, well, then you... Then,
I said aye. I'm sorry.
And then next you say all opposed, I suppose.
Yes, all opposed.
And I say I'm opposed.
Okay. My apologies.
No.
Get used to the chairmanship here. Okay, the motion does carry 2-1. Item number 10. You know, I think this one may fit in well with the discussion we planned already for the April 7th meeting.
That's fine. If we can move this thing along. It's just, and obviously there's nothing happening in the next couple of weeks, but I would like at some point, maybe in the next meeting or the one after it, I don't think anyone's lobbying right now on it, but I just don't think it's BCPL business, and that's my opinion, and we can vote out in the future.
Okay. I think it fits in well with the item we put on the agenda for April 7th anyway. So
that makes sense.
Good. Item 11, discuss examination of workload for Madison office staff.
I added this one, and I'll be very brief. When I took over as the state treasurer, I had 3 employees. I no longer have those employees. I'm a big fan of finding areas in government where we can make reductions. I don't necessarily know what every member, I've worked probably more, you know, than most commissioners would with the BCPL staff over there since being elected. And, you know, I have good praise for people like Rich and Vicky. She seems very knowledgeable. I don't know what some of the people do over there. And I had some concern. I sent an email to Tia, and she had, I think, forwarded to everybody. We have a land archivist, and I understand there's some state law saying we're supposed to hold documents, but I have real concern using our trust funds, either common school or normal school monies, to pay for jobs which don't benefit those programs. And so as a larger discussion going forward, I'd like to know what we're doing at, you know, more the Madison office than the northern office, what each person's duties and responsibilities are, and I could probably do a lot of that follow-up in, you know, in person myself.
Okay. Do you think this is a discussion to have as a board before or after the presentation from Steigerwald?
Probably after the Steigerwald thing. I mean, I guess what I'd say to the commissioners, Commissioner Schimmel, Commissioner LaFollette, is we have a core function, which is the loans. And that's what people know, that's what people like, and then we do the bonds of about half our portfolio. And my conversations with both people like Rich and Tom is, you know, like Rich does almost all those, okay? So one guy's doing that, and, you know, we have 2 people above him, a deputy and executive secretary, which there seems like a lot of redundancies, and that's my opinion. And I'd like to look into whether or not all these positions are needed. And so that's kind of where I'd like to look, because if we gave up land management, you know, to counties, private,
well, to move things along, I think at a future board meeting, probably in May, I would think, it might be okay to have Tia first give us a piece of paper in our board that itemizes who they are and what their responsibilities are, and then at the meeting we can actually ask her questions like, what does Joe Blow do all day long? If we want to ask that question, we can do it after she presents us.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's move it along.
Okay. We have just 2 items left. The executive secretary's report. Is there anything else to report?
Yeah, just a couple of quick ones. The WINTA event, we checked your scene behind us, is our prop for the WINTA event. This is an exciting year for us since we're distributing record earnings from the Common School Fund to the K-12 libraries. My understanding, I guess WINTA is communicating directly with you guys, but we'll do whatever we can to help make that event a success. I'm presenting the Wisconsin County Forest Association meeting this Friday. Matt, I brought that to your attention and want again to invite you to attend. This will be my 3rd year in a row attending there and offering BCPL lands for sales to the counties. This year I've been asked to modify my presentation and talk a little bit about the trust fund loan program and how that might help the counties finance their acquisitions of our land. I'm doing that this Friday. And we will be wrapping up the Wisconsin Towns Association district meetings this month. I will have done two. Tom, I just want to do a shout-out to Tom and Rich. They have had to work. One of us has been working weekends for the last 2 months to appear at these district meetings, and the bulk of the load of that work has been carried by Rich and Tom. I did one last week, and I got one coming up, but I'm grateful to them, and I just want the commissioners to understand that these guys are working Saturdays to be sure that we are presenting the trust fund loan program and the school aid in every town district meeting in the state of Wisconsin. There have been 13 of them. We've been in a marathon for the last 2 months. We're about to wrap up, and we will have spoken to almost every town in the state of Wisconsin, and it was an enormous amount of effort on the part of staff and with a lot of support from Vicki as well. So I'm grateful for that, and it does mean that we can now say that we've spoken to every town district meeting in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
So, that's my report.
Okay.
My goodness, shame on you. You're working more than 40 hours.
Okay. The only other item then is future agenda items. Any other things? We've discussed quite a few already.
I okay. move we adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
When did they start the
call? They're supposed to start one. Does it say one there, John?
One, yeah. Shit. We came in at two. Why did I think it was two?
It normally is at two.
Did I see an email this morning that said two? No, it was one.
Apparently they didn't miss us. Well, we don't know that.
We don't know that.
Schimmel must have taken over as the chairman of the board.
I don't know.
Because he was leading the meeting there at the end.
Yeah, he was at the end, yep.
This is Terry. Hi. How are you today?